Deborah, with her 30 years of being an entrepreneur and creating over 7 companies, knows exactly what it means to accept the mission. When you make that decision, when you accept the mission to become a solopreneur, to take yourself and your talents to market, then you embrace a life of not only unlimited possibilities, but also the unknown. It's an elixir of fear and bravery that only someone who's taken the leap really understands. On our show, Deb digs deep with her guests to highlight what you, the listener, wants to know. The stories, the whys, and the hows to navigate the journey to success. Get ready to hear from some of the most incredible mission takers from Generation Z to Boomers. So sit up, perk up, and get ready to be blown away. Now here is your host, Deborah Drummond.
Hello and welcome back to Mission Accepted. I love and adore you. You know that you are the most fanned upon listeners and viewers. I love it. If you are watching, you are seeing that we have more than just myself today and more than just a rock star guest. We have a plethora of gorgeous, beautiful authors with us today. And thank you so much for being so excited about the group shows that we're doing. I know that you're getting, like, you know, it's kind of like 10X. Are we in the world of 2Xs and 5Xs and 10Xs your business? So you get to come on to Mission Accepted and 10X. Today you're going to 3X your experience listening to these incredible entrepreneurs. And let's talk about that, because you know, we have people that come on for group podcasts, or we think about actors, we think about authors, we think about musicians, we think about poets, we think about people in the creative world, and we don't really think of them as entrepreneurs, right? It's like when you meet an author, you don't go, oh, you own your own business. You don't say that. Or an artist, you don't say, now, you know, conceptually, because we've heard this thing around starving artists, right? I mean, I think that's going to carry through every generation or something. Maybe we'll, then, you know, it'll change. But you know that they are kind of self-funding, but you don't really see them as entrepreneurs, right? That have to do marketing and have accountants and do all the things, as you see someone like in business, entrepreneuring, going for it, opening a bakery. Do you know what I mean? It's like, that's an entrepreneur, but there's really no difference other than geography. And so it's really interesting when you get to talk to, you know, I'm talking to women today. So these women that are on path and on, you know, passion for doing something that may be solo what they do, could be a part of what they do. People write books for personal reasons. People write books for business reasons. I think it's one of the probably the most powerful extended business cards somebody can do, but it really depends. And it starts with why you want to be an author and what does that look like? And so we're going to dive a little deep in today, because you might be thinking about becoming an author. You might be someone who's done a solo project, but don't know what that looks like when you do it collaborative with 15 or 18 or 25 or 200 other women. What does that look like? What's that experience like? Or vice versa, where you may have spent a world doing collaborative books and you're like, I know there's my book inside me that I need to do. And then sometimes, like a couple of ladies that are joining us today, that date got pushed pretty quickly because the opportunity triggered that why. So I would like to introduce you to our authors today. We have Miss Kathy Holt, we have Leslie Capps, and we have Carol Koppelman. And we're going to just kind of do a little conversation and join in. You are going to be so inspired today. You are going to be an inspired audience. Kathy, let's start a little bit with you. If you'd like to say hello and talk to people about what it is that I know that you're in process. Maybe share with us where you're at in terms of your book production right now.
Yes. Thanks, Deb. And thanks for bringing us all together and giving us this opportunity. Just briefly, I probably have been a writer most of my life. I wrote my first short story when I was 5 years old and recovering from a tonsillectomy. And I had to tell my story. My first job was as a medical writer and a science writer. And I wrote many helped ghostwrite some medical books and wrote some medical journal articles and then magazine articles. And then I worked my way into leadership and women, helping women develop their leadership capacities and skills. And I just have this burning need to share wisdom, information I've gathered so that women maybe don't have to make the same mistakes I did, or have, you know, to make their path easier when they want to be leaders. And so that's why I'm writing my solo book now.
Wow. Fantastic. Thank you so much for sharing. And what about you, Leslie?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm honored to be in this smorgasbord of authors, right? And I was listening to Kathy's story, and it made me think that I started writing too when I was in grade school, right? Those books, and they were about animals who had lives, and yeah, probably a little freaky now, but I was always a person, even in graduate school, that they put the limit on pages for, right? Like, there's a limit of 40 pages. So I was like, seriously? Because I got more stuff to say. But in all reality, as you know, I did not necessarily plan on a book, but it was the opportunity. And I'd had like this idea in my head. And again, when I took it on, somebody said, oh, you need to hit that 50,000 word mark. So I was like, okay, I'll get that done, right? So it was again that sort of thing of, yeah, what's the limit that we can get to? But I think as women, and especially women entrepreneurs, we want to tell our story, right? We want to help people on this journey. And really, my goal would be to switch the 80-20. So 80% of entrepreneurs succeed, instead of the 20 that we see now. Some of the basics are very simple. So that's kind of my message, and particularly women, for crying out loud, like, we have babies. We bring life into the world. Like, online business, come on, we can handle that.
Well, that's funny. You should have been listening to us pre-show or listening to me pre-show. Thank you so much. I love that. When you talk, and Kathy, you triggered it off for me, and Leslie, you made me remember. I don't know if anyone else had one, but I had a diary. I had a diary with a little lock that, my brother could pick with a bobby pin, And I used to keep it in a little sacred place, and we used to write about our day or write about things that happened. And I was a journal writer for 17 years. Now, if you would ask me, before I started doing publication and what have you, however many years ago, if I was a writer, I'd be like, well, I've never really written anything. But when you think about probably how much we all have written and how we used to have to write essays and, go get data and actually write it out. They say now that most people don't actually write for more than 2 hours a day. Like they actually don't write things out for more than 2 hours a day because we're texting and typing and doing all the things. But I think that's really interesting when you say that about how you truly, really have been a writer. I mean, conceptually, if you have concepts, then you write them down. And then the opportunity that Leslie's talking about, and Kathy's participating in that as well, is that if you've been following 262, and if you're listening to this podcast, you definitely have. You know where we've been, you know where we're going, you're listening, you're tied in, we're super fans of you. Hopefully you're super fans of us. You know that we were at the Emmys with the 262 book, and these two women are in it. And also we're on our way to the Oscars. And the beautiful thing about how when people work together, we don't keep that those secrets to ourselves. So these two ladies were like, what? Now Kathy was at the Emmy. She saw live what went on there. And they are writing their book in a time frame because they have the opportunity to also present their book at that forum. And so sometimes, the opportunity comes, which is what you were just sharing about, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, those 50,000 words or whatever it is somehow moves to the top of your priority list, which takes me to Miss Carol, because Carol has, well, she'll tell you how many collaboratives she's been in, and she's going to tell you about this solo book. And I got to tell you, let me tell you, this is an incredible title. Try one, entrepreneurs. So Carol Koppelman wrote, "Do the Necessary and Let the Rest Go to Hell," which I'm sure these two women have had to do because the date for their, final chapter was put upon them before they started the process. So Carol, maybe share with us a little bit about what made you decide to do a solo book, what was behind the solo book, and maybe how long it took you. Like, share some of the experience with us on that process.
Yes, like the other two ladies, I was writing from the age of about 5. My dad gave me one of those old composition books. And so I started writing. I was writing little new lands. I made up my own little land. I wrote poetry and that kind of thing. And I wrote short stories that I got published earlier on in my teens, and then went on to become a professional technical writer for many, many years. But once I retired, semi-retired, let's say I retired from the corporate world, I had the opportunity to write a book, and I figured at that point my life experience was as valid as anybody else's. So I thought I'd write about that, kind of to help other young women and maybe middle, young women and older to deal with certain transitions. And I'd had some, like everybody had some transitions. So it was like giving birth. Because I had to pull back into some very painful periods of my life, some good periods and some bad periods. And when I came to the title, I actually my mom had, because they had lived in India for a while, several years, and I had visited there. And one of the terms used in India is do the necessary or do the needful. And so I looked up the origin of that, and it's Saint Francis of Assisi, is do the necessary. So I thought, well, that's a great title, and I had to have a subtitle. So I went in the kitchen. I asked my Vietnam veteran husband. I said, "So what should my subtitle be?" He said, "Let the rest go to hell." That's how we. And it was such a. It's such a. And I'm kind of in sort of esoteric land all the time. My husband is very much down to earth, and it was. It actually is an excellent way of looking at things. Do the necessary and let all this other crap go somewhere else, right? So yeah, but it is like it is literally like having a baby or having get going through that whole process, because you're having to delve into real delve really deep inside of yourself and try to present that in a way that other people will understand and empathize with.
Now, thank you for sharing that, and that's great how you came up with your title. And I can't wait to hear how Kathy and Leslie share on another show how their title finally came to pieces. But that's so funny. The process when you decided to write the book, some people write the book for the personal journey, and you talked about how yours was personal journey, but also some people write the book like these ladies to be able to help people make a better way. And it sounds like yours was a bit of a combination, and I think it is, right?
Yes,
We
absolutely.
draw from our personal experiences, and those what bring it forward, some of the stories that we tell. And I've heard people say that before. I know people that have done like pure personal books, and they said that, some of the stuff they were writing that it was trauma based, and they needed to have like, a counselor or someone to go to make sure that they were not triggered and what have you. So writing a book can be all over the place. I mean, being an author of an instructional business book, all the way to having something where someone's writing a story which is very deep. It sounds like yours was somewhere in between. I'm going to ask ladies that let's talk a little bit about, well, before we talk a little bit about, the decision to take the book to market was in the decision to writing it. So you've all talked about your decision to write the book. And then let's talk about how are you finding time for process? What are you doing to carve time out? What did you do, Carol, to make it a priority? Because clearly it got to market somehow. I mean, there's people that have had books on their desk for 10, 15 years. Is it timing? Is it procrastination? Or are they, they are not doing the necessary? I'm not sure. Maybe they need to read your book. But let's talk a little bit about the process before you decide to take it to market. So, Kathy, how are you maneuvering it in your life? You've just moved, you've got lots of things on the go. Your daughter has you traveling around the world. How are you, what are you doing to make the time to write the book?
Well, I think it's just being intentional. I have learned a lot about calendaring and making sure that I have it on my calendar and really sticking to my calendar. I've also learned to say no. As you said, I have been doing a lot of traveling. And for example, right now, I was asked and kind of pressured to be at an international meeting, a UN meeting in Istanbul, and then going on to Cairo to be in one for next week. And I learned that I could say no. It wouldn't be the end of the world, even though I usually have learned to say yes because opportunities come when you don't expect them. But I really know I needed to focus on this book and that I was not going to let other things distract me. And as you said, I just moved from Texas to Connecticut. And if you really saw my office right now, not here where I am sitting, it is piled high with books, but I allow myself a certain amount of time each day to do the to do the boxes, and the rest of the time I'm just being very intentional on this is super important to me, and I have to get it done. So that's kind of the way I've worked on my time scheduling, I guess you could say.
Yeah, no, it's important. And Leslie, how about you?
Yeah, some of the same, right? We get hung up in how things have to be and how our day has to work. And I totally let go of that. Like, I wore the same stuff every day. Right? I like to cook ahead, so I had stuff in the freezer, so I pretty much just pulled stuff out of the freezer, never cooked. Had to walk the dog, right? Because he's very bossy and opinionated. But everything else, right? I let go. And this will sound super weird. I fell down some stairs, right? Kind of in the middle of the process. So I was like banged up, black and blue, and stitches in my head. But it allowed me to put off everything, right? It allowed me not to meet with people, not to go to any networking. So in retrospect, it was really a blessing. I had 2 weeks there where that is what I did. I also like I just leaned into inspiration. Like if I had something on my calendar and I got inspiration, I totally bounced it back and I went with that momentum, right? Likewise, I granted myself the grace to when I struggled for kind of my period was more than an hour on a chapter. That was it. Like I walked away, I moved on or whatever I needed to do, but really stepped away from being super like in it. I think I mentioned too, I went out. So my thing is to clean the garage. I don't know why. I gotta have a clean garage. So in the middle of writing, I would be like, oh, I gotta go clean the garage. Or I love to cut down trees with my Sawzall. I'd be like, oh, I gotta go cut down trees. So again, just sort of working that in because I knew that was part of my ability to stay grounded.
Yeah. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that. That's I love I relate to when it's like going to the garage. For me, it's tidying something up, organizing the closet. I just pulled things. I mean, there, the world is abundant right now and in my world, lots doing. And I just went and pulled the stuff out like for the winter and to change my jackets. It'll take me 20 minutes, but it'll make me feel in that mini accomplished so that I can go back into, I won't say chaos, I'll say multiplex. Go back into things that are, in an ever-changing state. And I think it's important, it is for me, it's a form of meditation, right? It's meditation, it's quiet. I'm having myself, I have my time with myself. I get to talk to myself and have a little conversation and, I have a friend in me. Is there a song? How about Carol for you? When you were doing your book, what was it that you because we have other things in our lives, right? You got a husband, he's like, let's get her done. But what did you use to be able to make sure you got your book done, or what was your process?
Well, actually, I wrote it during the pandemic, at the beginning of the pandemic, so I had a lot of time inside. And I would, and my husband was very supportive of whatever I did. But and so, but I remember I would sit around and cogitate a lot, and then I'd have to process some of these feelings. And but actually, once I went through it was so cathartic to go through this process that the person I was when I wrote that book, and that was about 4 years ago, I think, something like that. I don't even resemble that person. And actually, it was a good thing to talk about the past, but in an in kind of an instructive way and a helpful way to someone else who might be encountering the same things. So it was cogitation, writing little notes to myself, and also employing some of the same things, doing cleaning the closet or doing something else to kind of get myself out of that space and then meditate a little bit. So I did a lot of that thing, but most of it was just thinking about things that, like I said, it took about 4 or 5 months probably to write this. So that's what I went through.
Yeah. Well, and I think that it's interesting. Thank you for sharing. I think it's interesting because people make decisions to write books, like we talked earlier, and like I said earlier, for different reasons. Some have timelines, some don't. Timelines could be a blessing for some people. And then there's that creative process. And if you haven't said it to yourself, you've probably heard other authors say it. It's like, but there's so much more I can tell, you know, or some people have a hard time stopping a book, and I'm like, you can do another one. You know, people are like, I have a trilogy in me. Sometimes when you start to open up the gate, you're like, I have a trilogy in me. You're like, perfect. You know, so did J.K. Rowling. Look at her. She did good. So just, you know, say what you say in one book, and kind of like what you said, now 4 years later, you know, there's a whole different Carol that would write from a whole different way. And I think that at every stage that we write, whether it's instructional, and we're always learning more about life, and we're only always learning more about our craft, right? But there's people that are where you were at 4 years ago that needed to hear it. And I think that's the beautiful thing about books, is that I just spoke to a woman prior to getting on the show, and she's like, oh my gosh, you know, da 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 da, and I wish I was you. And I'm like, oh, you know, have you read the book? You know, but there's people that are exactly, you know, I was giving her advice from something that happened to me 3 years ago. She's got it going on right now. So I'm like, okay, this is what you need to do, and this is what's happened, and da 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 da, and you've been this, and there's trigger, like all the stuff. And that was a 3 year ago experience. So that's what I think about the beautiful thing about a book, and why I feel like a book can be everlasting, because not the world isn't grow, you know, growing at the same pace that you are. And what we've had to say on our journey, and is so important for someone who's now on embarking on their journey. And you know, I'm sure we all have read books over and over and over again. One of the books that I read, well, I think after the 10th time I stopped, was Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. But the book that changed my life, and I'm going to ask you, what was the book that changed your life? Shakti Gawain, Living in the Light. Now, I was in last year of high school, and I found this book, and it was a book that talked the concept of feminine masculine energy. And I was like, oh my God, someone's talking about what's going on in my body, you know, because that wasn't a conversation that was, you know, really top of mind for people when I was in high school, right? Masculine feminine energy. But it changed my life, and it made me feel like I wasn't, you know, I had what I was experiencing, someone else was experiencing. And so it was this amazing book that I read over and over again. And then the opportunity came to go see Shakti Gawain. She was at Christchurch Cathedral in Vancouver. And I was like, oh my gosh, I'm going to go listen to this woman. And she's talking about her experience about writing this book. And I was like, well, that's interesting. Right. And then she's like, you know, I read it now and I think, oh my God, I can't believe I gave such crappy advice. And I was thinking, what are you talking about? That advice changed my life. You were, you know, I'm like a super fan. What are you doing? You're breaking my heart here. And she was like, I can't believe when I read it that people actually got value from that. Nice way I had to put that, you know, she had so far advanced, and she was like, what was I thinking when I wrote that stuff? And I'm like, well, what you were thinking saved my butt. Anyways, long way to tell you that story, but that was the book that really changed my life. Ladies, what is a book, Kathy, that really made impression upon you or changed your life? Oh, we can't hear you, hon.
Sorry, I had workers around here. There have been quite a few, actually, and I'm trying to think. I mean, for me, a lot of them were in the 70s, and some of the feminist writings about just be women having value and being equal. There's Audre Lorde, there was Gloria Steinem. There were just quite a few books that just kind of got me motivated and got me a little angry that we weren't already being considered equal. And, you know, I got involved in the ERA work and things like that. So it would be hard to really just look at one book. I think it was a compilation of as we've been talking
The
about of
encyclopedia.
all these different of all these different women and their thoughts and their beliefs and their passion. And Yeah, I got to work with Bella Abzug for a little while when I was working in politics, very early in my career. So just having all this these messages and hearing what they had to say and how they were so passionate and going forward with the with women's rights. And so there would be just there's quite a few.
Right. So that made an impression upon it. Of course, you're writing about leadership and how women becoming leaders and how that's played into your book today. And Leslie, what about yourself?
Gloria Steinem's my hero, right? So she's always been the voice in my head. So certainly that genre of book. But I have to say, like when you said that, I really thought Martin Luther King, like his writings, and as well as Malcolm X. Like I got really into that, and there was something about Malcolm X's story of when he began to change, because I think we all have this perception that he was really hateful, and he certainly was at one point, right? And then he made this huge shift in his personal beliefs and everything else, and that's when he was killed. And they, for that, for me, that has always stuck with me, that ability to make that 180 shift. And from the outside, we have this perception, right? And yet people can make that and change completely everything about themselves. And I just had to mention too that whole change process through the book. I think I even talked about it a little in the book. And it was very quick, right? But I knew the person who began writing the book would not be the same person who ended up writing the book. And I see everybody nodding. It's such a process. As you get really focused and get clearer, each chapter, and you can almost see like how your thought process is changing as well. And maybe that's a part that I liked about the Malcolm story and why it's segueing for me, right? Is that change process we make whatever we're doing in the world.
No, true, 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 true. And Carol, what about for yourself?
There's a lot of books, but I was thinking of Eat, Pray, Love.
Oh, yeah.
Elizabeth Gilbert. And I think because I was always a gypsy, really, for much of my life. I'm a little more nesting at this point in my life, so I did in reverse. But so, and also the transition she went through in her life. And from a woman's perspective of she kind of felt locked down in her marriage, and then she went on the adventure all over the world, and just that really influenced a lot of my thinking. I really loved that book, beautiful movie too,
Yeah, no, right? I had a moment with it myself.
as
It made a big change in my life, and I, ended up going to Rome, not be,
Yeah.
not because of the book, but I didn't even, anyways, it triggered off me going to Rome, my first trip that I went by myself, and I was like, oh, this is what they're talking about. This is truly being on a trip and doing what you want when you want. It was amazing. It was amazing. So you're writing solo books, and you've written a solo book. All of you ladies have been part of a collaborative book. I know you've been part of, 262, and Carol, you've been part of 262 from a speaking standpoint and being on the stage and this whole inner movement of women coming together and the causes and what that means and, solidarity and collaboration and all the good stuff. But there's many different collaborative books out, and they all usually have a different theme. The one that we just finished producing had to do about women and solidarity and self-funding women and all the good stuff that we've been talking about. So I'm going to wrap up a little bit with your launches and things like that. So maybe fairly little quickly, share the difference. Was there a difference? Did you have to go inside to the same degree? What was it like to write in a collaborative now versus writing your own? So Kathy, let's start with you.
Well, the thing about a collaborative book is it's much shorter than what you have to write. So that does make it a little easier. But I think for me at least, I had to still go deep so that I wanted to make sure that those few words that I was contributing compared to the whole volume of the book were heart-centered. And that they came from my experience and my beliefs and my passion and my values. So I think the same internal work had to go into the process. The actual writing, once again, was probably a little easier because it is shorter. But whatever I've written ever throughout my lifetime, even when I've been writing for magazines or even for medical journals, I had to make sure that it resonated with the reader. That so many times, even technical writing seems dry and people don't read it. So as Carol, she's been a technical writer, so I'm sure she can probably say, talk to this too, is that you still have to put in something that makes them want to read it so that it resonates with them. And it's not just, blah, 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 science, science, science kind of thing, So that part, it does go. It takes the internal work, I think, is similar, and it's just a matter of fewer words, which is sometimes harder than a lot of words.
I would agree with you. I talked about this yesterday about how one of my biggest presentations that I was told, in front of an audience was 4 minutes. They wanted me to teach how to raise conscious children in 4 minutes. So I was like, oh, I can do that in 1 minute. I came out and I'm like, if you all want to have conscious children, be conscious parents. Gotta go. You know what I mean? Like, no, I didn't do that. But I agree with you. And Leslie talked about it earlier. It can be difficult to get it tight. I know because, I would write something and Dorothea would send it back to me and go, you're 500 words over. I'm like, how can I be 500 words over when I'm only supposed to be writing 700 words? Like, how's that possible? And getting it tight and getting it tight and making it impactful. Sometimes you feel like you're losing part of yourself and what have you. But I have to say, when I see when I see it finished in a collaborative, I mean, I like the collaborative because there's joy, joy, happy, happy, community, community, and that makes it a little easier. And it tends to be someone else's theme. Right? Like at least you got your eye on writing about that. So it can be easier, but it can also be more difficult. And that I found difficult, yet the impact I found to be just for me at this point, just as grand, right? Proud of the piece. Leslie, what about yourself?
So yeah, such a different experiences, right? Like I love the collaborative without a doubt, right? Getting to meet super amazing women like you all and all the others in the 262 book, having that support and community. I agree with Kathy in the sense of like words matter, right? So whether we're writing 50,000 or 100, it's always that real intentional focus. What are we saying? Are we staying true to ourselves? A solo book, gosh, I don't know if I'd written one without the opportunity. It was kind of on the back of my mind, but it's an undertaking. But I will say, like, having a short time span, like, I super focused, I had an intention. I'm very self-critical. Like I can step back and go, oh, like that super sucks, or that was freaking brilliant. And that's in the same sentence, right? So yeah, and I tried to kind of like the collaborative, right? I tried to bring people in, had beta readers and people reading behind me going, okay, like we don't know what you're talking about, or yeah, maybe, or whatever it is. So such a different experience. But yeah, so I think you should do one of both or one of many, right?
One of many, one of many. We have many stories to tell. Do share. And Carol, for yourself.
I liked both. I liked having the opportunity to do my own book, but also the collaborative piece because we would have at least monthly meetings with the other members. And so it would help us refine our theme. And I agree with Kathy that and you that it's so hard, some it's harder actually. You have to have a 500 word limit or something like that. It's actually harder, a little bit more challenging to get everything you want to say in that area. And so I found that actually more challenging than writing my book because I really have to really focus on, okay, what is our theme? And actually, is it going to mesh with everybody else's theme? And that was the beauty of having these meetings that we could throw things around and then, it really refined pieces. So, yeah, both formats are great.
Both formats are great. I mean, I almost recommend if someone's not an author, right? that being part of a collaborative, particularly if you're going to use it for a business extension or project extension, or you're an artist and you want to tell the story of you're an artist because you want to sell your art or whatever. I feel like if you've had a collaborative experience conceptually, I think it makes it much easier before you write your solo. I think because you have an understanding, you're like, oh, this is a launch date and this is what a book launch looks like. And this is what, oh, okay. And you know, you've put yourself through that thought process, would seem to me. But we're going to be wrapping it up, ladies. And oh, look at those beautiful hearts that Kathy's got. So let's just kind of walk around a little bit and talk about, Kathy, let's go back to you. You are in the process, and let's talk about the launch. Let's talk about the day that you get to share your piece of art with your friends, family, or foremost. So I know, Carol, that you've done a launch. We're going to leave you to last to say how you did yours. Kathy, do you have plans for doing a launch? What is it that you're doing? I'll let you share that yourself.
Well, I'm learning a lot from you, Deb, and I really appreciate that. And from everybody who's done a launch, and I'm really anxious to hear what Carol has to say, because that is a little, for me, daunting, I guess you could say. I know it will be at the Oscars, so I know that will be a big effect. And I know will be launching it at one of the 262 speakers summits, but planning a launch. I would probably need to do a launch in Texas because I have such so many friends there, and I know they will want to be help participate in that and celebrate it because I've lived there for a really long time. I also would love to try and do a launch in New York where I also live part time, but that finding all those kind of people, and all these people to come to it. I do have quite a few friends there too, but that would be quite an undertaking. But I do know that it's important, and I would, I also will be doing some launches online, to really promote the book because I think writing it is difficult. Marketing it can be as difficult or more difficult because I do want to make sure that what I've written gets into the hands of women who need it or who might be inspired by it. Because why write want something if you're not trying to impact or inspire, for me, other women? So.
Awesome. We're gonna have to do we'll do a launch an author launch show, all the different types of launches you can do, and all the different we'll do this really cool concept and throw ideas out there, and we'll have an interactive. My listeners are like, yeah, that's gonna be so cool. Okay, so cool. And Leslie, how about yourself?
Similar position to Kathy, right? Have been through the launch with you, doing some stuff behind the scenes, also cultivating the community already, right? To help me with that. And mine is gonna be like a rolling launch, apparently. Yeah, I kind of say that like rolling my eyes, right? Seems like it'll be the launch that goes on forever. But gonna go ahead and launch it right before Christmas because I need those physical copies. And then right to the Oscars and then to March 8th. So I'm sure by March 8th, I'll be like, holy moly. But yeah, trying to plan all that. I think in some ways, you look back and I was like, holy, the writing the book, that was the easy part. Yeah. Now it's all these other things that you're like, oh, I hadn't thought of, oh, I gotta do that. I gotta do that. So.
And you know, the cool thing I say to people is that you can launch and relaunch your book at any time, right? And people are as excited for you now as they are then. And that a book is a moving piece, unlike a piece of art, which I love art. I mean, I don't know if I have any more room on my walls, honestly. So it's getting pretty bad. They're doubling, and you know, some are under a bed at this point. But an art piece is, you know, you can move that piece to different parts of your world. But the book, you know, books can be redone and revised and recalibrated and relaunched, and it is actually a moving piece of art, I think. And so, for you, Carol, wrap us up on the launch part. And
Well, I had no idea what was going on. I went through a publishing company who took care of a lot of the marketing that was part of the whole package, and so I really didn't know. So she set up the launch party. I had to have several people look at the book ahead of time, so I had a launch party. I think about 20 people or something like that, and then they would look on Amazon and make reviews and stuff like that, and then she did a podcast with me, and then I was part of some networking groups that also wanted to interview me for podcasts. So it kind of get the word out. So mm-hmm. it was kind of, I went in there kind of like, I don't know what's going on. First time I'd ever been on a podcast. I was scared to death. I dressed up way too much. Because
right
I was
on.
Like, I don't know, this is in the, you know, like right after the, right in the middle of pandemic, and I've been wearing, you know, this, all my sweatshirts all the time. And I'm like, I have to wear makeup. So it was, I think having that launch team ahead of time and helping with kind of a, some backup and getting yourself out there is a big deal. So people are aware of your book.
Absolutely. Thank mm-hmm. you so much for sharing. And I think that that's really about it, right? Having people know what you're doing. You know, it's not helpful if you're using it for marketing to like announce it the week before the book comes out. Yeah. There's all sorts of things. And maybe we'll do a thing on that. And we talk about that a lot. Like I talk about that a lot in terms of marketing and pre. And I know Leslie right now, you can follow Leslie, and she's like day this and day that, and she's on her way to the Oscars and she's doing her thing, and we're talking about it as much as we can and mm-hmm. keeping the process alive and people engaged in what you're doing and letting people cheer you on, you know what I mean? And then really owning that you created something that only 3% in the world do. How many people want to versus how many people do. So for any of you listeners out there or viewers that are watching that are thinking that you have a book inside you, we encourage you to start digging in that. Maybe start writing about you wanting to write, you know, reaching out. I think that's very important. I don't say that because I do it in terms of getting support around a book launch, but it's very important. It makes a difference between success and, you know, it's going to make a difference in your numbers. Absolutely. Everything that we do is a marketing piece. If you're using it, if you're doing it for anything other than just your personal development, you want to put a book on the market because it was part of something that's your soul therapy, I call, you know what I mean? Where you don't really care if anyone reads it. You wanted to make that children's book. You wanted to make that movement and you wrote it because it was important for you to check off your list. It was a soul thing. But most people are writing books to help people get seen, get heard. And that is part of the launch, right? And very different than the energy of writing the book. So people can contact us for information like that. Kathy, you have a few things to...
Yeah, I just want to applaud Leslie. Her Facebook Live process about writing the book, I'm trying to get up the courage to do all those Facebook mm-hmm. Lives. And I'm practicing a little bit because those have been phenomenal. I've just really... to me, they're a joy. They're entertaining, yeah. But they're also joyful because I see the joy in you in doing it. Also, the little bit of the stress, but yeah. You just seem so happy about what you're accomplishing. So congratulations on the Facebook Lives.
Oh, yeah, thank you so much.
Awesome. So look it, follow us in 262. All of these ladies are going to have their information in the show notes. You're going to be able to contact them. Follow Leslie, the book, you know, we're going to be, when this show goes, these ladies are going to be further along in their process. Carol, we're going to have her information about her book. Carol's also been part of 15 collaboratives. So she has good experience on both sides. If you want to be in a book, you know where we are, right? You know where we are. We have space in our 262 book to hear your story if you are a self-funding woman. And we have all sorts of incredible projects going on. And I know of many people that have incredible projects that are going on that are maybe doing a book that you're more aligned with. You know what I mean? I just put two guys together yesterday because he's in rock busting. Right on. Right on, right? But we're here to celebrate with you. And please come join us on the summits. You know, these are Stand Up, Speak Up, and Show Up. And they are for women and those that support women. So that's everybody. That's all of you out there. Come on and then see. And you will see a lot of authors. You will see a lot of people doing a lot of really cool things that take bravery, just like authoring does. And so if you have, you know, if you have a book that you want to talk about, come do it on the summit. If you have a book with inside you and you need some support, we're here to help cheer you on. And as always, we just love and adore you. Thank you so much for being an inspirational audience. Ladies, thank you for joining us today and sharing more insight into your project. We're looking for international bestselling status over and over and over and over again for you. And we know you'll have it. And congratulations for braving up and taking your first book launch to the Oscars. You know, they're going to get dressed up, Carol. You know what I mean? Like, if you're going to go, you know what I mean? Like, if you have a little fear, might as well do a big one. It's kind of like doing a half shot of tequila. Forget it. Do the, you know, take the full glass, you know, go for it. And we will see you again here next week at Mission Accepted Podcast. Thank you, ladies. And before we
Thank you.
go, think really quickly. You're going on a trip. Your book's finished. You've had multiple launches. You're like, give me the daiquiri and I'm going to go on a vacation. And I'm taking one suitcase and I can take one album, one, only one. What song, singer, or musician do you want to hear from when you land on that private island, Kathy?
I would probably say right now there's a song, Confident, that I really, really listen to because it's celebratory. And where would I go? I would probably not go to a beach. I would go to Ireland.
Okay, you're going to Ireland and you're listening celebratory. Okay, and Leslie.
I gotta go with my girl Lizzo. It's about damn time, right?
About Damn Time by Lizzo and Carol.
Carole King, Tapestry, Desert Island.
Awesome. You're on a theme. Okay, ladies, thank you for joining us. Audience, thank you. We'll see you next week. And until we see you again, you be well and you stay groovy.